Secrets and Lies. Secrets and Lies. There we go. You got it now? Secret. See, they couldn't hear me because Tony was already trying to censor me. Secrets and Lies. Welcome, truth seekers. You have come to the right place. I know it doesn't sound like Mike Malloy, because it ain't. Mike is off tonight. He'll be back with you on Monday. Until then, tonight, you got me, Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative citizen, blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, broadcasting live from a, I was going to say snowy, but no, rainy left coast here in beautiful downtown Burbank. Secrets and Lies all night long. Yeah, we have winter. It's going to be a cold night. I know it's cold out there, cold across the country. It's a wintry, blustery night here in Los Angeles. Yes, we do have winter. We do have winter in Southern California. Tony said, maybe a little. No, we do. Here's the way it works, in case you don't know, in case you're not from Southern California. When it's windy, that's the equivalent of fog for us out here in Southern California. When it's foggy, that's the equivalent of rain. And, of course, when it rains, as it is doing now, that's the equivalent of snow, a snowstorm. Actually, when it's rainy and foggy, as it is right now, that's an effing blizzard. So we've got a blizzard going on here on the West Coast. Glad you could join us for the blizzard. Blizzard of information coming at you, and whistleblowers, and oh, my run-in recently with the good folks at CNN and Don Lemon. I will be talking about that tonight. I will also be talking in this very hour with FBI whistleblower, FBI's 9/11 whistleblower, Colleen Rowley, fresh from her arrest at the White House, at the White House gate last night. We're going to ask her what it's like, you know, the tables were turned on her. She's been this FBI special agent for years and years before leaving the agency after becoming, by the way, the Time Magazine 2002 Person of the Year for her whistleblowing, or her whistleblowing attempts to thwart 9/11. She was ignored. We won't be ignoring her tonight, but we're going to ask her, well, what's it like to turn the tables on you there, copper? She was arrested last night. She was arrested along with legendary Pentagon Papers whistleblower Daniel Ellsberg, who I recently interviewed on another show. Tony, I hadn't talked to Ellsberg yet last time I was in, had I, as you recall? No. Okay. For folks who don't know me, as I say, I am a blogger from bradblog.com, and I appear all over the place, but also out here in L.A. on Wednesdays with some regularity. I sit in on the Pacifica radio outlet out here. A couple weeks ago, I was able to speak with Dan Ellsberg, Pentagon Papers whistleblower, before apparently everybody now wants to talk to him about the WikiLeaks. He had some, of course, a lot of interesting things to say. And if the gods are with us, if the radio gods are with us tonight, I'll play a clip from that interview where he speaks about Bradley Manning, the alleged leaker, the alleged WikiLeaker, Army private first class, who has been now held in a brig, reportedly in inhumane conditions, bordering on torture, as reported by Glenn Greenwald this week at Salon. Bordering on torture in solitary confinement for 7 months. Now, whether he did or didn't do what he is alleged to have done, he has not yet been charged, to my knowledge. I think whether he did it or didn't do it, whether you support it or don't support it, the conditions that he's being held in are intolerable, are inhumane, but they are now exactly what we have come to expect from these United States of America, I'm very sorry to say. So we're also going to be, in addition to hearing from legendary whistleblower Dan Ellsberg and Colleen Rowley, she's going to be talking about Manning as well, and about whistleblower legislation, which is pending now in Congress, was just passed in the Senate. A lot of the whistleblower advocates out there across the country are in support of this legislation, but not the National Whistleblower Center, not the organization that Colleen is working with. She is against this legislation. We will find out why. We will find out why WikiLeaks is important. If you didn't know, it is important. And we will find out why Julian Assange, no matter what CNN says, is not a terrorist. I can't even believe I'm going to have this segment tonight, but I will. Don Lemon, last week, I wrote about this at Brad Blog. Don Lemon at CNN did a segment with another great patriot, 27-year CIA analyst, Ray McGovern. I loved it. It was great. It was a great segment because Ray McGovern said to Don Lemon and CNN, "You ought to be following WikiLeaks' example, CNN." Yeah, they should. They should be, as Ray said, seeking out secrets. Because that's where we've come to in these United States of America. It's all about the secrets and the lies. And the only reason the lies exist is because of the secrets. I saw Fair Game this week, the film about Valerie Plame, Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame. Man, good great movie. I'll be talking about that later in the show as well. But for those who may not be listening later for any reason, let me just tell you, go out and see it. It's tremendous. It's maddening and it's heartbreaking. And actually, I couldn't stop crying. Couldn't stop weeping afterwards. I was quite surprised by my own reaction. Our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Don't use the Malloy's regular number, even though over, I think, at MikeMalloy.com, it says their regular number. Use this one instead if you want to get through to us or you want to try. I got a lot to get to, but I do want to get to as many of your calls as I can throughout the hour. 877-520-1150. Write it down because we do want to hear from you. These are still your public airwaves, your public radio waves, no matter how the corporations try to take them away from you. Take them back, at least when I'm around, at least when Mike Malloy is on the air. Take them back. They're yours. WikiLeaks. This is, you know, I haven't been able to think of much else other than that over the past 2 or 3 weeks. WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks. This is, I gotta say, the people's moment. And if you don't understand that, if you don't understand the importance of WikiLeaks, go see that movie Fair Game. Go see how we were lied into a war. Go see how it is that secrets could be kept, policy could be built on them, even though what those secrets told us were that, well, there was no WMD. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11. It was all a scam. Had we had WikiLeaks back then, we might have 4,000 or 5,000 U.S. troops that were still are still with us today. Unfortunately, we didn't. We don't. They're not with us. Hundreds of thousands of Iraqis, some say even more than 1 million, are dead. Innocent citizens, innocent civilians because of the secrets. Enough of the secrets. This is the people's moment. You know, if the Democrats aren't going to get off their ass and restore, do something to restore the airwaves to the people, to restore the Fairness Doctrine, to undo Bill Clinton's Telecommunication Act of 1996. If they're not going to do anything about it, well, then I guess it's up to the people. And in this case, we've got the people now standing up, now making noise, now, yes, leaking classified documents so we can find out what is being done in the name of the people. And that's happening at WikiLeaks. And that needs to continue to happen at WikiLeaks. And when you hear them attacked, when you hear Julian Assange attacked as a criminal, as a terrorist, as CNN did, let me remind you, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, have been charged with no crimes. None. We'll see if they will be or won't be. I know that this administration would like to, and they may try to bend the law any way that they can in order to do it. And that's why it's up to the people right now. And that's why it's up to, frankly, groups of hackers, hacktivists like Anonymous, who have been out there fighting back against what have become tools, I'm sorry to say, for the administration. Tools like MasterCard.com, Visa.com, Amazon.com, PayPal.com. And yes, those hacktivists are breaking the law, probably somebody's law, in attacking those servers and fighting back, but reminding them that the people are here. All right. Last night at the White House, I know Mike talked about it. Malloy talked about it last night on the show. Very few other people talked about it. But Colleen Rowley drove 22 hours with 17 other Minnesotans to the White House to remind them that the people are here. She was arrested with about 100 others. We are going to be talking to her after this break, as she barrels her way back to Minnesota. Find out what she thinks of all of this, a great patriot. And as I say, go stop by bradblog.com. The chat room is now open. We'd love to hear from you. Brad, in for Malloy. Big show straight ahead. Turn it upside down.
Turn yourself around. You'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer.
No promises. No promises not to tell. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman. In for Mike, Brad of BradBlog.com, secrets and lies, and they are killing us in every regard. Every problem, I would argue, just about that we're facing right now in this country, in this world, comes about because of secrets and lies. And we're going to be talking about it all night long. First, I'm joined here, delighted, honored, thrilled to be joined by Colleen Rowley. She's formerly an FBI special agent and legal counsel for more than 20 years until she retired in 2004. Following 9/11, after blowing the whistle on failures at the FBI, which led up to those attacks, she testified to the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee about endemic problems facing both the agency and the intelligence community. In 2002, she was one of three whistleblowers named Time Magazine's Person of the Year. She's been outspoken in her support of federal whistleblower legislation and also in support for WikiLeaks, its founder Julian Assange, and the alleged leaker of thousands of, hundreds of thousands of classified documents, Army PFC Bradley Manning. And, of course, yesterday, during a snowy protest at the White House, we've got photos at bradblog.com, she was protesting, quote, against war crimes, and in favor of exposure of war crimes, as she told me, after getting out of the clink, because she was arrested, along with legendary whistleblowers like Dan Ellsberg. And she was sprung from jail last night. And now, as we speak to her, she is traveling across the country 22 hours back to Minnesota. Colleen joins me now again. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Colleen.
Hi there. I guess we're about halfway through Ohio.
Oh, man. So you got hours and hours ahead of you, right?
Yes. We'll probably get in sometime midday tomorrow. We're not quite sure. It depends on traffic.
All right. Well, if you got plenty of batteries on your cell phone, Colleen, I'll talk to you all night as far as I'm concerned. And, I'm glad you were sprung out of jail. How does it feel to have the tables turned on you there, Miss FBI Copper?
Well, you know, I don't think this was a typical arrest. Obviously, when you're arrested, it's usually for wrongdoing. And in this case, none of us did anything wrong, and we're just protesting against others who are engaged in war crimes. So it's not exactly the same. I was telling somebody, if I was arrested for speeding or, you know, some infraction, it would be quite a different thing. But when you're in the right, it's a little bit like the Rosa Parks moment, mm-hmm. in a way.
Yeah, you know, I looked at that video and I couldn't figure out exactly what the charge was, not following orders or something like that. What were you actually arrested for? I looked at the video of the arrest and it's like, what the hell were you guys doing wrong?
Yep, that's right. That's what it was. It was not following orders. They give you 3 chances to follow orders when you're in front of the White House. And if you don't take them up on the 3rd offer to follow the orders, then you get arrested. There were 5 people, I didn't see them, who actually had affixed themselves to the fence. So I'm not sure if maybe they were charged with something different. I don't know. But 132 people were arrested essentially for not following orders. And we were given a chance to pay a fine of $100. Or if you wanted to fight it, 2 of our group, actually, we had 17 Minnesotans there, and 8 of the 17 actually got arrested, and 2 actually are fighting the charge. I paid my $100 because I didn't know when I'd get back to Washington, but 2 of our group are actually going to fight it.
Someone in the chat room here, For Earth, asks, what were the orders that you didn't follow?
I guess that it was to disperse or to leave the area. You know, I was holding a sign that had 2 sides. One said, war is a lie. And there were people at the White House, so it's like we were really communicating. I thought the First Amendment protected our ability to communicate. There were a lot of people. They weren't tourists. They were dressed very nicely, and they were actually watching us and looking at our message. The other side, I had expose war crimes, protect or free Bradley Manning, and, protect WikiLeaks or something like that. And I thought, well, I'm going to stand here for as long as I can and get that message across to the White House.
Yeah.
But the police didn't think so.
Yeah, I guess they didn't. And it's always curious to me. It's like, well, why don't they let you stand there as long as you want to stand there? You're not bothering anybody by standing in front of the White House. I got to take a quick break here, Colleen. Hang tight in that van. Hopefully you're not driving. Speaking with Colleen Raleigh, whistleblower, 2002 Person of the Year. Much more straight ahead.
Take a tip, button up your lip, don't get yourself unstrung.
Harmacum,
just from a slip of the tongue.
Don't talk about the weather,
it's a military secret.
Uh-huh.
Just keep your wits together.
What isn't a military secret these days? That's the problem. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Speaking with Colleen Raleigh, FBI, former FBI special agent, 9/11 whistleblower, 2002 Time Magazine Person of the Year, fresh from her arrest in D.C. with a bunch of other legendary whistleblowers and heroes of mine. Barreling back, she is, to Minnesota with about 17 other Minnesotans in the van as we talk. So do I have you back, Colleen?
Yes.
And does everybody in that van, have you instructed them to just be quiet for the next hour while you talk on the air?
Yeah, they're kind of whispering, but I did tell them we need a little quiet here. We're a little tired because we haven't gotten much sleep in the last couple, 3 days.
I bet you haven't. Well, maybe we'll have them make some noise later. My thanks to them and for you. Okay, so you were arrested on one side of your sign. It says the war is a lie?
Right.
The war is a lie. On the other side, it says support free Bradley Manning, the alleged leaker of thousands of documents that have been published by WikiLeaks. Before we get to Bradley Manning, though, Colleen, you wrote an op-ed in the Los Angeles Times about 3 weeks ago, as I recall, saying that had we had WikiLeaks back in 2001, 9/11 might have been averted. Explain that a little bit, if you could.
Yeah, I wanted to just beforehand, though, just say when you were talking about military secrets.
Yeah.
I want to say probably the best kept secret is the fact that there were a veteran led, several hundred people in front of the White House yesterday, 130 some arrested, and very few people in the country would even know that because the mainstream media almost blacked it out. And so that when you talk about a military secret, that just struck me that as that's probably the most disappointing thing about yesterday, that this problem is you called yourself a muckraker, and there just are simply no real investigative journalists and not even willing to carry the news.
Yep.
That what's going on. I mean, it's news when this happens at the White House.
You know what? I would think so, which, by the way, after I talked to you last night, that's exactly what I did. I went over to Brad Blog and covered it and put videos up from that from the protest, video of the arrest, and you're right. We should give credit there. It was veterans. Which group is it? I'm sorry.
A couple of groups. The main group that organized is the Veterans for Peace, but there were many Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, younger ones, who are actually back from Iraq that were partially dressed, at least in their uniforms, that participated in the event.
Veterans for Peace, and we'll get their website before we get out of here to give them credit where it's due. So you're right, that was kept a secret. It didn't happen. If it's not reported in the mainstream media, it never happened. That's
especially since Obama was announcing, it was the very same day that he's announcing that he's going to, we're making progress in Afghanistan, and of course, you know, there's little justification or little evidence of progress. He's kind of double speaking,
mm-hmm.
and they covered that, the speech, but they did not cover the fact that the people outside were very much trying to show that this isn't true.
Because the president gets covered, the people don't. The people have to fight like hell to be heard, and they have to get arrested at the White House in freezing temperatures. And a guy like Dan Ellsberg, who is, I don't even know how old he is now, he's got to be pushing 80 or so, you know, has to go through these efforts to make a point about a war that the majority of the people in this country don't even want to be in.
That's right.
It's extraordinary. Okay, so let me get back to the question, though, on WikiLeaks and how that would have helped, perhaps, to avert 9/11, as you suggested in your recent L.A. Times op-ed.
Well, the key thing, people have forgotten what enabled 9/11 to happen. And, you know, that summer, there were many, many clues, such that the director of the CIA, George Tenet, was said to have his hair on fire. So much information was coming in. That Richard Clark, of course, was pushing and pestering Condi Rice to have a meeting to try to reduce al-Qaeda terrorism. He was put off repeatedly, and he was told there was not $1 available in the budget to counter terrorism, if you can believe that summer. So when that was going on, you know, the Minnesota office got this terrorist suspect came to light in August, but before that even, terrorist suspects had come into California.
That was Zacharias Moussaoui, right?
Right. In Minnesota, the Moussaoui case was an example of where information was blocked intra-agency, inside the FBI.
Right.
It never went above a mid-level management. But there is another case. There's many clues. This isn't the only one. There was the case of the two hijackers who had come into California, and that was an instance where the CIA failed to notify the FBI in a timely manner. They were actually on their terrorist list, so that was an interagency failure to share information. But the 9/11 Commission, though, even went beyond that, and they said that it was also a failure. It was due to a failure to share information with the public and the media. And so when we start talking about secrecy, after WikiLeaks, of course, there's been a huge propaganda effort to make people believe that secrecy is somehow helps their security. And that if the government just has more secrecy and is able to prosecute people for espionage, that somehow that's going to help our security. And actually, the lesson of 9/11 is quite the opposite. It was a failure to share information not only amongst agencies and inside agencies, but with the public and with the media. And of course, it's hard for me to say this now, and there should be many more security experts, and even members of the 9/11 Commission should be backing up. They should be out there saying, that's absolutely right. We need to share more information. But you don't, you're not hearing too many people say that now.
No, you're not. And in fact, the network that supposedly Bradley Manning was able to tap into and to get at all of these, the Iraq war logs, the Afghan war logs, and the diplomatic documents, supposedly there was some 2 or 3 million people, I think, that had access to these documents. If I understand it, and hopefully you can correct me here, Colleen Raleigh, that this network was opened up to people in the military, so they could have some of this operational intelligence. So it was available, these quote-unquote secrets, to millions of people, but just not the public, because for some reason the public cannot be entrusted with such information.
Yeah, I think that the ShipperNet sharing of these, and they were actually classified at confidential and secret level, which is not the highest classification, were shared with over 2 million intelligence analysts and State Department folks. I think the reason for that actually was they were trying to follow the 9/11 Commission's recommendation. And guess what? I will make a prediction that that has actually been rolled back. You've seen orders that have gone out now to try to somehow make that sharing of information on the ShipperNet less accessible and less able to work. There's probably going to be more compartmentalization of information in the government as a result. And so it's just the opposite of what the lesson of 9/11 was.
Yeah, and I recall that people were talking about, oh, the information is stovepiped into specific agencies, and it wasn't getting across agencies, and it wasn't getting out to the public. So could if public information might have information of this sort might have helped to avert 9/11? Would you say the same thing would be true, that it might have helped avert the Iraq War? I've got a fair game on my mind. The Valerie Plame film I just saw. Is there any doubt that had we known about more of the intelligence and about more of the lies about the of the intelligence, then we might not have been able to go to war so easily over these lies?
Absolutely. And you think of people like Richard Clark, who, if you remember afterwards on 60 Minutes, what he came forth with is that Bush had actually come up to him on the day after 9/11 or a couple of days after 9/11 and had said, let's find out how we can go to war with Iraq based on 9/11. I mean, so somebody like him, we just heard the story. This is a very interesting story, but Richard Holbrooke, who just died, and apparently his last words before he went into this surgery or coma, he said, you've got to find a way to end the war in Afghanistan.
Right.
Daniel Ellsberg told a story that, in fact, Richard Holbrooke, at the time of the Pentagon Papers, agreed fully that Vietnam was unwinnable, and he totally agreed with the whole analysis that was in the Pentagon Papers about this whole failed policy in Vietnam, and yet had no mechanism in order to get that information out. And because he had no secure mechanism like the WikiLeaks, or at least he felt he didn't, you know, he kept it to himself. And certainly in the lead up to the war on Iraq, you had the CIA head that knew, and I think he was in Germany or somewhere in Europe, who actually knew that Curveball was not reliable, and this was a source that, in fact, even the German intelligence said was not to be trusted. So you had numerous people all in this chain that could have refuted some of the lies. And the problem, of course, is there is no whistleblower protection in the government, and amongst the intelligence agencies, it's even worse than the minimal level that's supposed to exist in other branches of government.
It is indeed, and I want to talk about the whistleblower legislation that's moving its way through Congress with you, because I know you take exception with a lot of the other whistleblower groups out there who are supporting that legislation now. But let me ask you this before we get to that, and then we got to take a quick break. But before we take the break, let me get another question in for you, Colleen Raleigh, as an FBI special agent analyst for years. You dealt with with classified information. You dealt with secrets. You knew the importance of keeping secrets and not divulging sources and methods. How do you square that thinking with, you know, your feelings now that we need less secrecy and that you know, the public needs to know more about these very things that the government says, oh, we need to keep them a secret? How do you square those two points of view?
Well, it's not hard to square. Even when I was in the FBI, I was also the Freedom of Information officer in my office. And so when we were giving information from FBI files to historians, to reporters, I sat there with my black marker. And, yes, it's very appropriate. We had to black out names for privacy. We had to black out tactics, that, you know, special tactics. There are rules for doing this, but what you want to do is you want to minimize secrecy to the absolute minimum. There is also the idea that it needs to be limited in time. So, for instance, while an investigation is going on, we investigated the mafia in New York in the 80s. Some of those investigations did last a couple of years. So during that time period that you're investigating, it had to be secret. Obviously, you can't tip off the mafia. However, once the investigation is over, every document you generated was handed over to the defense attorney to check to see if you had dotted the I's and crossed the T's. And if you think about it, when you have secrecy, you've got to have a check on it. Because if you have something like perpetual secrecy, which many people operating in covert national intelligence agencies don't think that it will ever be known. You know, they're doing things that they think they're basically waterboarding and stuff, or even whatever. They thought that that would never come to light. And when it did come to light, then they were hard-pressed. What do? We got to quickly destroy these tapes.
Because they knew that it wouldn't, they thought that it wouldn't come to light. They felt they could get away with it. I got to take a quick break here, Colleen Rowley, but it brings up a question. How do we know what needs to be kept secret? And to that end, you know, if a Bradley Manning decides, should a private first class get to make that decision? We're going to talk about that in a moment. Brad, in for Mike Malloy with Colleen Rowley. Much more ahead.
Must be some kind of way out of here.
No, there ain't. This is it. Brad Friedman manning the watchtower tonight for Mike Malloy. He will be back with you on Monday, but tonight it's Secrets and Lies and telling the truth about him. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com speaking with one of my personal heroes, Colleen Rowley, as she barrels back from D.C. where she was arrested for, I guess, standing there and heading back to Minnesota. She is, of course, the former FBI special agent and Time's 2002 Person of the Year. We're talking about WikiLeaks. And one of the things that was on her sign that she was holding up in support of WikiLeaks was Free Bradley Manning. So, Colleen, we're talking about secrets, how there are too many secrets in this secrecy regime, but that you, as an FBI agent, you needed secrets at for certain things, certain classified information. How do we leave it up to someone like Bradley Manning? He's a private in the U.S. Army. Should it be up to him to decide what is and isn't secret?
There's ideal systems where you actually have an inspector general that you can go to. Our system has departed from, obviously, we departed from the ideal. I even, if you go back to the times when the waterboarding and the torture stuff was starting, there were people in the military who went to the inspector general. There was a guy named Captain Ian Fishback, who went all the way up to the top of the Secretary of Army and could not get a straight answer about what they were being ordered to do. And eventually that's when he went to McCain. He had to go outside the system. There should be, at the very least, a freedom to warn Congress. In my case, of course, my memo was directed to members of the Joint Intelligence Committee, and at that time, that was still considered wrong. The FBI was actually talking about retaliating or firing me or even going to Congress, and they were doing an actual inquiry that preceded the 9/11 Commission.
And this was information that could have stopped 9/11 from happening concerning Zacharias Moussaoui. Why did you, well, should you, in retrospect, Colleen, should you have gone public with that memo, broken, if not the law, then certainly broken your employment restrictions by taking that memo public?
Well, there's a paradox here. My memo, which was written in May of 2002, describing the Moussaoui case and the failures, was made available to the media. Probably it was by somebody in Congress. I don't know who it was to this day, but probably it was somebody in Congress, and simply because they knew the de facto reality of the situation, which was when it's secret, when there is no public pressure that comes into place here, then the people in power can retaliate against a whistleblower. There's no protection.
But had there been, for example, a person who, you know, the people who were looking at the Moussaoui case prior in August of 2001, who were trying to get attention to that but couldn't,
that's right.
Should they have gone public at that point?
Well, honestly, in hindsight, I mean, not even in hindsight, there were 60 emails exchanged with headquarters and telephone calls, and I think if the agents who saw this happening had a secure outlet, I think that there's a chance that they would have been conscious that they needed to take the information a step further.
Colleen,
my co-author of that memo or that op-ed was in the FAA, and he and his team partner were actually assigned to see if there were lapses in security in the airlines, and they were 90% of the time they were successful in smuggling weapons onto planes. And they, you know, if you think, he went outside. He actually went to his inspector general.
Colleen.
And even went to Congress.
Colleen, hold the thought. Can we actually call you back in about 2 minutes and keep you after the top of the hour here? Would that be all right?
Sure.
Just for
sure.
A few minutes. All right, Colleen Raleigh, she'll be back. Brad in for Mike Malloy. To the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. In for Mike, yes, it is I, your friendly investigative citizen blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me. 6 minutes after the hour, and I keep forgetting to mention, you can Twitter us. Twitter me at The Brad Blog. We would love to hear from you tonight. It's secrets and lies all night long. Well, outing the lies in any case, talking about the secrets, the WikiLeaks secrets, what should and shouldn't be kept secret. We'll be taking your calls in a bit at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Got a lot more ahead, some audio from my recent interview with Pentagon Papers whistleblower Dan Ellsberg, and my run-in with CNN and Don Lemon. I will be telling you about that coming up, hopefully, in this hour, if I can get to everything. I invited Don Lemon on to the show. He declined. We will talk about that, although I did have a really good discussion with him for about an hour and a half. And we'll see how much of that I'm allowed to talk about. So that's straight ahead. But I wanted to finish up. We were speaking with Colleen Rowley as she barrels back towards Minnesota, driving through the night with 17 other very patriotic Minnesotans who were also arrested with her at the White House yesterday. She is, of course, the 9/11 whistleblower, former FBI agent, and 2002's Time Magazine Person of the Year. Are there any other persons of the year in that van, Colleen?
No, I guess not.
are they all falling asleep now, or are you keeping them awake?
Well, hopefully the driver isn't falling asleep. But
okay.
I was in touch with Sharon Watkins, who was the whistleblower at Enron recently.
Yes.
Time Magazine, as you know, just named, who did they name? The Facebook inventor?
Yeah, the guy from Facebook who is so meaningless to me. I can't even remember his name. It should have been Julian Assange, if you ask me. But, just named.
Julian Assange was the popular vote. And, of course, that kind of reflects a democracy, I think, that we're experiencing on all the levels here. But I thought WikiLeaks, actually, you know, it's more than Assange. It's the sources. It's the other volunteers.
Right.
But the whole ability to get back to the First Amendment is the thing that should have been the person of the year. It's what we need right now. And I know you're mentioning Ray McGovern telling CNN that this is what you ought to do.
Yep.
And I take some encouragement because The Guardian and some of these other newspapers are actually, they're reminiscent of those 19 newspapers back in the Pentagon Papers that defied Nixon's order. You are seeing some courage, I think, on the part of certainly The Guardian, I think, is the best one. It's out there really kind of writing stories. And I'm hoping that we can get back to that era.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of these papers are, you know, the Guardian is the UK Guardian. And the other partners of WikiLeaks are Der Spiegel in Germany, El País in Spain. New York Times was actually not a partner with them on these latest leaks. Apparently, it was the UK Guardian who shared these diplomatic cables with the New York Times, but it's still up to we the people. It's still up to the efforts of folks like WikiLeaks. The mainstream media is still not doing the job they ought to be. And there was just a couple of quick points that I wanted to get from you before I let you go and get back to your long drive there. Before we went to the break, you were talking about your partner on the LA Times op-ed, where you suggested that had we had WikiLeaks back in 2001, we might have averted 9/11. But you were talking about your co-author on that, Bogdan Tsakovic. Is that how you say his name? Bogdan Tsakovic?
Bogdan Djokovic.
He was
one of the heads of the Red Team, and their assignment was to find vulnerabilities in airport security. They didn't realize that they would be so successful, but when they started this Red Team, they found they could 90% of the time smuggle weapons onto planes. And they became so worried and concerned that they not only went up the chain of command inside the FAA, to no avail. Eventually, the FAA began to warn the airports ahead of time. So then they went to their inspector general, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That guy didn't listen. And then they actually went outside to Congress and tried to independently brief members of Congress. And, of course, we all know what happened is no one listened and 9/11 happened.
When was that he was trying? That was prior to 9/11 that he was trying to warn people.
During the summer of 2001. Hmm. And if you talk to people like that, and now they've seen the result of what happened, they will say, yes, I would have gone. You can't really have a different answer. Otherwise, you're saying, my job security, my bosses, whether my party loyalty, my Catholic priesthood hierarchy, whatever it is in your group, you're saying that matters more to you than actually other people's lives that hang in the balance. And I don't think anybody will say that after. You know, they will say the truth will actually help ensure safety. You know, we can talk all night about these examples. The Catholic priesthood, of course, is one of the best ones because it's well known that secrecy, all those decades, is what allowed the wrongdoing to continue.
Yep. It sure is. Let me ask you this before I let you go, because there has been, it's been about a dozen years now, there's been a fight to get federal whistleblower protection at the federal level for folks like yourself, for folks like your co-author at the LA Times, and these other people who are trying to, who want to step forward, but realize that they may end up in jail, they may end up losing their career. Well, now we finally have legislation. There was one version voted on in the House, another one in the Senate, and I think the Senate finally passed it this week. A lot of whistleblower groups are supporting it out there, but the National Whistleblower Center, who I believe you work with, is not supporting this legislation. Can you explain what this legislation would do and why it is that you're against it, Colleen?
Well, I will say I am for it to the extent that it helps some of the, well, apparently it will be a step forward for employees of many agencies. And so I'm not against it for that reason. If you work for the Department of Agriculture and Safe Food or the FDA and the testing of drugs, I think it will be a good thing. Unfortunately, it does not protect the members of the 16 intelligence national security agencies. So the things that I've written about, of course, which are, you know, life and death in the balance with security, are not protected, and it's basically this, that we're back at square one. We don't have the protection.
So
it did not go far enough, and I think it was the Obama administration, if I understand right, who did not want to have the national security agencies have whistleblower protection.
Well, knock me over with a feather. Actually, I think, though, as I recall, the Senate has been trying to keep the national security folks out of that bill. So they are specifically exempt from that bill. In other words, if someone in a national security agency does something to blow the whistle, the same thing that might be done in any of these other agencies, the Food and Drug Administration, if they do it, they are not protected. Is that, do I understand that correctly?
Yeah, you don't have any way to have actually your day in court. I also understand that it is supposed to help a little bit and maybe give you a way to argue. When they yank your security clearance, that's one of the things that happens is they yank away your security clearance.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the new law would give you an ability to argue that your security clearance, but there's no ability to go outside. So if you have an agency and they say, no, we are yanking your security clearance, I don't think there's any way to challenge that. And that's what is absolutely needed. You're always going to find these loyalty groups, and you have to get outside that loyalty to get an objective, fair disposition of any matter. It's impossible to do so inside the agency.
Well, let me tell you, I hope you'll hang tough. You'll hang tough with the, I believe it's whistleblowers.org is the National Whistleblower Center. Hang in there with them. Fight to make this as good as it can possibly be, even with so many good things in there. You know, I hear so many folks say, oh, we don't want to let the perfect be the enemy of the good. When it comes to advocacy groups and advocates like yourself, and frankly myself, it is our job to fight for the best thing possible out there. We don't need to make the compromises. Lord knows there are plenty of politicians in D.C. who are happy to do the compromising. Let's us do the advocacy. And for that, for standing up, for speaking out, Colleen, as you have now for so many years, and as you continue to do, I want to thank you for everything you do, and thank you for keeping up the good fight.
One quote,
yes, please.
On the secrecy.
Yeah.
Lord Acton, who said power corrupts, and he also said everything secret degenerates, even the administration of justice.
It's a powerful
quote.
Yep. I agree. Everything secret degenerates, even that of justice. You're right. And that's what's happened. And we're going to be speaking about the justice that is being given right now to Bradley Manning, who is being held in secret, in solitary confinement, in inhumane conditions that border on torture, if not exactly torture. We're going to be talking about that coming up in just a few minutes. Colleen, thank you. And I thank everybody also in that van. Can everybody in the van scream and say hello to the...
Say hello, Brad, everybody! Yeah.
Okay, you were telling the truth. There's a van full of peaceniks there. God love you. Thank you all, guys. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all in there.
Okay.
All right. Have a great night. Oh, man. The heroes, the folks like Colleen Rowley, like Dan Ellsberg, like Ray McGovern, who I hope we're going to play some tape from both of them coming up in this hour and in the next. They are our heroes. They are my heroes. We need to support them, and because they're the ones who are going to save us. They are the ones who are going to save us. It is not the politicians. It is not the Democratic Party. It is not, you know, those people who you're throwing your money at. Save it for the advocates. Save it for the independent media. If you haven't figured it out right now, it's not going to be ABC, NBC, CBS who save us. It's going to be we, the people. We're going to come back with your calls at 877-520-1150. And I keep being told here to remind you of the chat room over at bradblog.com, where we're talking about all of this and much more. And, of course, you can Twitter me. Something sounded vaguely sexual about that. You can Twitter me at the Brad Blog. I would love to hear from you. Coming up straight ahead, we're going to be playing Don Lemon from CNN and what CNN had to say about Julian Assange irresponsibly calling them a terrorist, calling him a terrorist. Are you kidding me? Come on, people. You are the media. That's why it's us. Up to we the people. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Standing up for your rights, hopefully standing with you for your rights, for all of our rights. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. If you missed any portion of my interview there with Colleen Rowley, we will have it up late night tonight at bradblog.com as well. MikeMalloy.com will, of course, carry it via iTunes in the podcasts. And if you're not a podcast subscriber over there, please do. Please support independent media. You heard Colleen mention as she was coming home from being arrested in D.C. the fact that, she was there with not just her as a legendary whistleblower herself, but there with Dan Ellsberg of the Pentagon Papers, Ray McGovern, 27-year CIA analyst. We're going to play some audio from him in a little bit here, hopefully from Ellsberg as well. But a whole bunch of war veterans, all who are protesting the war. And did the media cover it? Nope. Did Mike Malloy cover it? Yep. Bradblog.com cover it? Yep. Support the independent media. And by the way, even if it's not Mike or me, you know, Raw Story, Alternate, Truth Out, Buzz Flash. I'm trying to say support the independent media, because the mainstream media for 10 years at least has not been doing the job. As a matter of fact, not only have they not been doing their job, they've been doing the opposite of their job. They've been telling the story of the bad guys. Go see Fair Game. Go see Fair Game. Do I have time to take a quick call? Let me do that. Mary has been hanging on in Iowa for a long time. Excuse me. Welcome. I shouldn't have had that cookie. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Mary, what's on your mind?
Well, I am older than, I'm older than the hills.
Okay.
And I have been standing on the highway for 3.5 years with an anti-war sign in a small town, about 500 in northwest Iowa.
God love you.
And Anyway, I'm older than Daniel Ellsberg. And he is 78, by the way.
Okay, thank you.
And when I do support independent media, I never believed George Bush in the first place about the war. But anyway, when I saw what Bradley Manning had done and that they had imprisoned him, I did have a sign that said "Free Bradley Manning," but after a while, I realized that no one had any idea of what I meant. And then when WikiLeaks came on, I got the right on WikiLeaks side too. But I'm telling you that people are honk. I have a honk for peace. And people are honking. The truckers would never honk.
Mary, hang on. I'm going to come right back to you. Brad in for Malloy. Stay tuned.
What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next? Don't stop now. We're on the edge of our seats. What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next, WikiLeaks? What's next? Well, don't stop now, we're on the edge of our seats. You have to watch what you say or your words will haunt you. Take extra care when you speak. One of these days you just might find your foot stuck in your cheek. With a flabby old chap and Hitler hobnobbing and the head of a snake. And Batman and Robin, there's just no place to hide your disgrace. You got egg all over your face.
Wiki. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight, all night long, and glad you could join us 34 minutes after the hour. Mike will be back with you on Monday and for the entire week of Xmas, as they say on the Stephen Colbert Show. We are speaking all things wiki tonight, secrets and lies, and how secrets are killing us in this country. And I've got a lot of great stuff ahead, a lot of audio I want to play, a lot of thoughts I want to share. Can you tell I haven't been on the air lately with you? I got all this stuff stored up. But I do also want to take some of your calls at 877-520-1150. Before I get to some of that audio, I just want to finish up with Mary here, because she, too, is a great patriot out there in Iowa, having been standing out by the highway for 3 years. And as she says herself, she's older than what? God, Mary? Is that what you said?
Daniel Ellsberg.
That's right. Older than Daniel Ellsberg.
Yes, and I'll make this quick because I know you're busy.
I appreciate it.
And most of the cars honked like the Dickens. It's bedlam.
Are they honking, Mary? Are they honking in support? You're holding signs.
In support. It says honk for peace.
Honk for peace. Now, when you were holding up a Bradley Manning sign, they didn't know who that was, right?
No, I did that when I first found out on Free Speech about Bradley Manning. And then I just want to do something for Bradley Manning, and if I could find the name of the prison that he is in, I would send a pillow for Bradley Manning to the prison, and I would wish that a lot of people would send pillows, because it seems the military doesn't have enough pillows.
Well, they don't for him, because he is being denied a pillow and even sheets for his bed, where he's being held for 7 straight months in solitary confinement. He is alone in that cell for 23 out of 24 hours a day. I'll give you a little bit more information on that, but you can go to bradleymanning.org. Which is a resource. Gives a lot of information about him, where he is, how you can help, what you can do. And for those who don't know him, since you said so many people who are driving by you're holding your signs,
I haven't been holding that sign. I'm going to now, because I believe people have heard of Bradley Manning now and Julian Assange.
Yes.
So I will be out there.
God love you for doing it. And it's got to be getting cold up there in Iowa this time of year.
Cold older than the Dickens.
Oh, brother. Mary, I love you. You're awesome.
And you're pretty good, too.
Thank you, dear.
Okay. Yes, bye. And thanks for the program.
You bet. Thank you for all you do. Wow. Man. Yeah. God love her. Wish we had about a few million more like her. Not that anyone in the mainstream media or at CNN would notice. Just real quickly here, Bradley Manning, the one who is alleged to have leaked so many of these diplomatic cables, the Iraq and Afghanistan logs. Of course, we don't know if he did. But he is reportedly the one who did, reportedly the one who released that video of a U.S. Apache helicopter in Iraq gunning down about a dozen civilians there, including two Reuters reporters, a photographer, and two children. While the Defense Department had for years denied Reuters' requests under Freedom of Information Act to find out what happened to those Reuters employees. Well, Bradley Manning allegedly released the videotape that showed exactly what happened to those Reuters employees, and they were gunned down by an Apache helicopter for no reason at all. This is what Glenn Greenwald writes about what is going on with Bradley Manning right now. PFC, private first class in the U.S. Army. For 23 out of 24 hours every day, for seven straight months and counting, he sits completely alone in a cell. Even inside his cell, his activities are heavily restricted. He's barred even from exercising and is under constant surveillance to enforce those restrictions. For reasons that appear completely punitive, he's being denied many of the most basic attributes of civilized imprisonment, including even a pillow or sheets for his bed. He is not and never has been on suicide watch. For 1 hour per day when he is freed from this isolation, he is barred from accessing any news or current events programs. In sum, Manning has been subject for many months without pause to inhumane, personality-erasing, soul-destroying, insanity-inducing conditions of isolation similar to those perfected at America's Supermax prison in Florence, Colorado. All without so much of having been convicted of anything. Anything. And, as is true of many prisoners subjected to warped treatment of this sort, the Briggs medical personnel now administer regular doses of antidepressants to Manning to prevent his brain from snapping from the effects of this isolation. The conditions under which Manning is being detained were once recognized in the U.S. and are still recognized in many Western nations as not only cruel and inhumane, but torture. Torture. Remember that? When we used to care? These inhumane conditions, writes Glenn Greenwald, make a mockery of Barack Obama's repeated pledge to end detainee abuse and torture, as prolonged isolation, exacerbated by these other deprivations, is at least as damaging as violative of international legal standards and almost as reviled around the world as the waterboard, hypothermia, and other Bush-era tactics that caused so much controversy. Those are the conditions Bradley Manning is facing. You can read much more about that at Salon.com, where Glenn Greenwald has done a tremendous job in reporting on this story. Also just released from prison, where he was held in some sort of medieval isolation in London, is Julian Assange, the publisher and founder of WikiLeaks. He was freed to this morning on bail. Mind you, he has been convicted of nothing. He's been charged with nothing. Never mind charged with secrets or anything else, WikiLeaks. This has to do with allegations about some sex crimes. Who knows? But he's been held for days. And now that he is out, he was on Good Morning America this morning with George Stephanopoulos, asking if, and Stephanopoulos asked if he had encouraged Bradley Manning in any way, shape, or form, because now the folks in U.S. are talking about, they're trying to figure out, how can we find a crime to charge Assange with. Something! Damn him! We must find a crime! Well, now they're coming up with the... Well, he encouraged Bradley Manning to steal these classified documents. That must be a conspiracy to steal government classified property or some crap like that. Here's Assange on this Good Morning America.
Mr. Assange, let's begin where Jim left off. The possibility of espionage charges or conspiracy charges here in the United States. They rest on whether you communicated or encouraged Sergeant Manning, Private Manning, in any way to give you those classified documents. Did you help him in any way, shape, or form?
We don't talk about sourcing issues in general, but there's something that I can say that is very easy. I had never heard of the name Bradley Manning before it was published in the press. WikiLeaks technology designed from the very beginning to make sure that we never know the identities or names of people submitting us material. That is, in the end, the only way that sources can be guaranteed that they remain anonymous as far as we are concerned.
And what's interesting there is he says he never heard the name Bradley Manning. Of course, he might have heard a different name. He might have known him under a different name. But in case you don't know, there is no crime in releasing documents that someone has given to you, classified documents. That's how us journalists often do things. We're given documents by whistleblowers that might be classified, that might be secret, that might be corporate. It's not a crime. And, of course, we found that out in 1971 when Nixon tried to take down Dan Ellsberg. Let me play a little bit more of this Stephanopoulos interview with Assange this morning.
But your website did encourage the soliciting of classified information that could expose you to prosecution.
No, it couldn't.
Well, of course, it didn't encourage it in the way that is being suggested. I mean, does a court system encourage people to lodge documents at court? And is that a crime? Of course not. Does any journalist, by the fact that they give out the number on their card, encourage the solicitation of documents? Of course not. There is nothing specific that we do that encourages any sort of specific documents to be submitted to us. And
so
the Congressional Research Service of the U.S. Congress just produced a 30-something page report that said that it thought it was very unlikely under law that we had engaged in any illegal activity. And if it was alleged that our activity would be illegal, then of course the New York Times and all other mainstream media organizations would also suffer from that allegation.
Yeah, that's right. And so would Brad blog. I mean, this notion that because this is what they're going to get him on. If they get him on anything, and they're not going to get him, they're going to charge him. If they charge him on anything, it's going to be the idea that he was soliciting classified, that he was helping Bradley Manning to steal these documents, and this notion that soliciting classified. I've read all the time. Hey, I'll say it right here. Hey, whistleblowers, got classified documents you'd like to get out there? Feel free to let me know. I've got a P.O. box it's mostly for donations at bradblog.com, but we also accept your classified documents if you'd like to share them with me. I mean, are we really going to criminalize this now? And yes, then we would end up throwing New York Times in jail, CNN, Fox News, throw them in jail. Criminalize everything. Why don't we? Stand up for WikiLeaks because they're the only ones who are standing up for you. And I will be playing, if I can't get to it this hour, then we'll do it in the next hour, some audio from CNN. Some, I think, rather extraordinary audio. And, you know, CNN going along with the, you know, the elites. The folks who say, Julian Assange is a terrorist. We assassinate terrorists. Obama has determined that it's fine to assassinate U.S. citizens if the president deems that he would like to. Yes, he has. So when you hear Senator Mitch McConnell, Representative Pete King, Sarah Palin out there calling him a terrorist, that means one thing. Kill him without due process. Brad, in from Molloy. More straight ahead. Right not to be killed. Not applicable, apparently, to Julian Assange. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy. I am your friendly blogger from bradblog.com. There's a lively chat going on over there at bradblog.com. Stop by the top item there and follow the links into the chat room and say hello to Desi, who is manning the boards all alone here tonight as our friend Jeannie Dean is off working. So it's just her, but a lot of great folks in there. And you can also, as I say, Twitter us at the Brad Blog. And, thank you, Uriel81 over at Twitter. Well, he says something very nice. So, or she. So thank you for that compliment. And let's see, Uber Left is what that is. I'm sorry, I didn't see your Twitter asking. You wanted me to ask Colleen Raleigh. But whatever happened after the FBI raids on the anti-war protesters in Minneapolis? That would have been a great question. Sorry, I didn't see it. Okay, 877-520-1150 is our phone number, 877-520-1150. I've got some information, some audio from my recent interview with Pentagon Papers whistleblower Dan Ellsberg, and I've got... some of the CNN stuff, some of these, this rather remarkable interview that played last weekend on CNN with Don Lemon and 27-year CIA analyst Ray McGovern, and then what happened afterwards, and my conversation with Don Lemon that went around and around for about an hour and a half. I've got a statement tonight from CNN that I will read to you on all of this, but let me get to some of these calls here, if I can, before the top of the hour. Michael from San Francisco. Hey, welcome to the Molloy Show, Michael. What's up?
Hi, Brad. I just wanted you had mentioned how, like, the media doesn't cover anything. Our Veterans for Peace Chapter 69 here in San Francisco, in coalition with, like, Courage to Resist, Answer, Code Pink, I think American Friends, we did an action here in solidarity with the action happening in D.C. yesterday.
Yep.
And we did a die-in at the federal building, mm-hmm. and about 30 of us got arrested.
And
I don't know if any media covered it, you know, at all.
Well, you just did. Thank you for doing that. You got the word out to the nation, and I should give the Veterans for Peace. I believe it's veteransforpeace.org if you want to support them and the work that they're doing to try to raise hell and to make noise and end these goddamn wars. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate the call and what you're doing out there.
And thanks for what you're doing.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Have a good night.
You too. All right, let me get to, do I have time? Yeah, let's also from San Francisco. Mark, you've been holding a long time. I really appreciate it. Welcome to the Molloy Show, sir.
That's okay, Brad. It's always a pleasure to listen to you.
You're kind. Thank you.
I wanted to talk about, do you think the fact that Russ Feingold and Alan Grace had ran as independents,
mm-hmm.
would they have a chance at the presidency? And also about Fox News, do you think we should do, like, demonstrations at Fox News demanding the truth and calling out the lies? And, I mean, if they're funding the war against the middle class, that's just as bad as the wars that we're fighting in Afghanistan. Why wouldn't we protest in the same manner?
I think you should. Now, I happen to feel there's a limited, unfortunately, limited amount of action that it actually happens anymore in these protests, at least if progressives protest. Of course, if you're a teabagger and you protest, you're all over the news. But hell yes, get out there and protest Fox News. Hell yes, get out there, protest anywhere you can. Raise hell. Make noise. You know, do what you can until we come up with something better. Do what you can.
Brad, the thing is, if you call the other news medias and tell them that you're going to have 500 people out at Fox ready to be arrested, you might get some coverage.
Yeah,
you just might. That's what we used to do in labor fights.
You might, although I'll tell you what, Mark, Fox News only tends to cover it if you protest Democrats. I mean, that was, I'm not quoted a lot on Fox News, but one of the times that I was quoted was when, of course, I was attacking Barack Obama. Oh, they love that. Thanks, Mark. And Feingold Grayson in 2012. Sounds great to me. Democracy, baby. Bring it on. Hold all of their feet to the fire. And you can't go wrong with two guys like Feingold and Grayson. Yep, go for it. Do they have a chance? I don't care. That's not what democracy is about. It's about speaking up. It's about fighting. It's about standing up for what you believe in. Thanks for your call, Mark. I do appreciate it, brother. All right, I will get to this Ellsberg audio and CNN and Don Lemon, all of that straight ahead, and you are not going to want to miss it. Don't miss a single minute in the upcoming hour right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Stay with us. Show Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy for one more hour here. Mike Malloy will be back with you on Monday. You're not going to want to miss that. I think this is our last. This may be our last opportunity before the end of the year. So thank you for joining us here. You can Twitter us if you like, even though it sounds vaguely sexual. I still like it. Twitter us at the Brad Blog. Of course, visit us at bradblog.com, where there's a very lively chat room going on as usual, and it is being hostessed. If that's a word, by the lovely chat room babe, Dez, who, by the way, happens to be my co-host, for those of you who may be familiar with her. She's my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, heard on these many fine progressive radio stations. If you're not familiar with it, as I like to say, well, basically, she brings the news. And I heckle her. And I think it's a lot of fun. You can check that out at greennews.bradblog.com. And if you don't get it on your radio station, it's 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment. If you don't get it, call your radio station. Tell them you want it. It is, after all, free. And just as information wants to be. Our phone number tonight is 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. I will try to get to as many of your calls as I can tonight, but I do have some stuff that I want, that I insist, that I have promised to get to, and not just my thoughts on Fair Game. And in case I don't get to it, by the way, let me just repeat it again. Go see Fair Game. Go see what Secrets and Lies have done to this country. Go see what Secrets and Lies did to Joe Wilson and Valerie Plame. Because guess what? The criminals are still at large. They're still on the loose. They're still running around, putting this country in danger. And if you want to go after Julian Assange, who has broken no laws, who, by the way, has leaked no secrets, no documents. If you really give a damn about that, go after Karl Rove and George Bush and Dick Cheney and David Addington and Scooter Libby and all of these people who did out secrets that do harm people, that did harm people. And as the movie Fair Game suggests,
probably got a whole bunch of them killed, but we'll never know about it. 877-520-1150 if you want to get through. Tono, I want to run some of this in support of Bradley Manning. I spoke with Dan Ellsberg, the legendary whistleblower from the Pentagon Papers, who says he's waited 40 years for a leak like this, for a leak along the lines of the Pentagon Papers. That's what Bradley Manning, Army Private First Class, has been accused of doing. And, of course, did he break the law? We know Julian Assange didn't. Sarah Palin doesn't know that. Joe Lieberman doesn't know it. Dianne Feinstein apparently doesn't seem to know it. Barack Obama, Eric Holder, and all these people who are trying to invent a crime that Assange broke, they don't know it. CNN apparently doesn't know it. They're happy to say, oh, is he a terrorist? But Ellsberg knows it. Ellsberg knows the score. And I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago on this WikiLeaks business on a different station, on the Pacifica affiliate out here in Los Angeles. There was a couple of clips, a couple of points that he made about Bradley Manning that I want to play here. This is the opinion of Dan Ellsberg, the man who leaked thousands of pages of documents in 1971 showing how this country was lied into war by the Johnson administration, lied into the Vietnam War. And he's looking at what Bradley Manning is doing, and, well, here are some thoughts of his during an interview that I had recently with him.
I'm very impressed that Bradley Manning, the suspect in this, who has not been proven to be the source yet by the Army, but if the Army's, should say the Pentagon's and Army's suspicions are correct, then I admire what he did, and I feel a great affinity for it because... Mm-hmm. He did say, allegedly, to the person who turned him in, Adrian Lamo, in a chat log, that he was prepared, he was ready to go to prison for life, or even be executed, he said, in order to share this information with the American people, and he thought needed to have it. And that's the statement I said I've waited, in a way, for 40 years to hear someone make. I think it's an appropriate choice for somebody to make. It's not that they're obliged to be willing to do that so much. That's something that a person has to decide for themselves very much. But I certainly think there were so many lives are at stake, as in these wars or in new wars that may be coming at us, as in Yemen or even Pakistan, that to try to avert those if appropriate and to shorten them when they're clearly hopeless and dangerous, as in Afghanistan. Worth one's own life to try to avert.
It's worth one's own life to try to avert that. Of course, that's what Dan Ellsberg did, and he's since gone on to say, and he said in that same interview that I did with him that you just heard there, he said that every single attack that has been brought against Julian Assange was brought against him back in 1971. That he hates America. He's a terrorist. He's a criminal. Lock him up. It's the same thing. Same thing we're hearing now. And it's not just the Republicans, it's the Democrats. We haven't even spoken tonight about the substance that of these leaks, the substance of what's come out for the last 2 or 3 weeks from these latest cables, these diplomatic cables. We haven't had time because we're defending the right for the people to even know what is in these cables. Amongst the things that we have learned about, we're in a secret war with Yemen, despite the fact that it has been denied by the administration. P.J. Crowley of the State Department said, no, we didn't do that. We didn't bomb Yemen. Those weren't our missiles. Those weren't our drones. Well, guess what? Yes, they were. Our government is lying to us about being in a war in Yemen, in Pakistan, in Somalia. We already went to Iraq for lies. Isn't that enough? Apparently not. I think the people have a right to know. I do.
And I believe Assange is a hero. I'm not sure how I feel about Bradley Manning yet, but I'm beginning to learn the more I talk to folks like Ellsberg and Colleen Raleigh, who support him and point out why. So, is Bradley Manning, who was working for the Army as a private, is he a traitor? Did he break the law? Well, Dan Ellsberg says he did not break the law.
Now, Bradley Manning is not a traitor any more than I was. I'm sure that I, from what I've read, that he, in fact, is very patriotic, as I was. And indeed, the charge of treason in our country, in our Constitution, requires aid and comfort to an enemy with whom you adhere in adherence to an enemy and to the disadvantage of the United States. I don't think Bradley Manning or I intended at all to be disadvantageous to the United States. Quite the contrary, to do things, as I said, to reveal truth that would reduce the danger that our policies are subjecting Americans to. And Bradley Manning, I'm sure, does not adhere to the Taliban or to Al-Qaeda any more than I adhered to the Viet Cong, which was zero. So that charge is ignorant, let's say, of what the term means in American.
He may be brought up, however, by a military tribunal because he's in the military rather than in civilian courts.
Regulations, just as I broke regulations when I revealed this stuff. Now, in his case, those regulations have the force of military law because the president can make criminal law for members of the armed services. He can't do that, actually. The law isn't just what a president says for civilians, as they're saying now. We don't have an official Secrets Act. And although I thought we did at the time, and I thought I was violating it, in fact, we didn't and don't. And I was mistaken. That I was actually breaking a law at that time. And the people who say that Julian Assange or even Bradley Manning, were he a civilian, were clearly breaking the law, are wrong.
Yeah, they're wrong. One of those people who are wrong, one of those media who are wrong about it is CNN. I'm going to talk about that. Well, I promise I'm going to get to it this hour and to as many of your calls as I can. But that was Dan Ellsberg in an interview, Pentagon Papers whistleblower Dan Ellsberg, in an interview that I did with him just a couple of weeks ago before many people realized. I think Democracy Now! had him on, but very few people, you know, realized that, yeah, this is the same guy who did the same goddamn thing 40 years ago, tried to expose lies that got us into a war. And it's happened again. And we're in more wars because of lies. And there are heroes out there trying to tell the story. Who is listening and who is out there calling him a terrorist and trying to shut them down? Not me. Brad, in for Malloy. Your calls and much more straight ahead.
Where it began, I can't begin to know, but then I know it's growing strong. Oh, wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer.
Tony's just trying to cheer me up. Welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad in for Mike, 22 minutes after the hour. I'll hold the CNN business and their response to my complaints that they were calling Assange a terrorist and that Don Lemon was playing along, and the phone call that I had with him for about an hour and a half recently, unreported until tonight, exclusively on the Mike Malloy Show. But let me get to some of these calls that you guys have been hanging on for quite a bit. Nora in Minneapolis, welcome to the Malloy Show, Nora.
Hey, Brad, thanks for taking my call. I've been trying to get through for a couple days. Mike didn't get me last night, and anyway, here I am.
And here you got sloppy seconds with me instead of Mike. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I was also trying. Hartman couldn't get through. I mean, I'm really trying to get out this message because that's my purpose for this committee.
Well, what is your message?
And my message is about the affected. We fondly call them the affected, and they were all raided by the FBI.
Yeah, up
there
in,
was about five of them in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
And one or two in Chicago, and possibly one in Michigan. I'm not sure.
Yeah, somebody had asked about that on the Twitters when we had Colleen Raleigh on.
And I was trying to get through, and here I got.
You're here, but we got to go. Thanks for the call, Nora. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh.
All right, so what's the update? Give us the update,
here's
quick.
The update.
Yeah.
They made $1,000 from having a Halloween kids party at the Y, and then they sent people out to lobby in D.C., and they met with two Congress people from Illinois, Luis Gutierrez, and who were very supportive, along with Dan Chikowski. And then they always ask, well, what does your congressman and what does your senator think? And this is a problem, because Amy Klobuchar used to be a prosecutor. Oh, well, anyway, first I should go and tell you where they stand.
Tell me where they stand, because what happened was these were peace activists who were raided by the FBI,
these
right?
These are peace organizers. Some of them have traveled to other countries and been in solidarity with such as a meeting in Lebanon with somebody from Palestine or something like this.
And so they're accused of being...
went to Colombia 10 years ago.
And so they're accused of being in league with terrorists.
Actually, no one knows what any accusation might be, because they came and raided all these people, took all their stuff, and then sent what do they send to you to go to the grand jury? Subpoena.
Okay,
they
subpoena.
All were subpoenaed.
Right.
They all ignored the subpoena. They all resisted, didn't go.
Okay.
So then we were waiting for the next shoe to drop. Apparently there's people in 9 cities that will go, and on the day after anything happens, so we were waiting, and then they reissued the subpoenas again. And that's all. And meanwhile, we sent our lobbyists out to D.C., and they met with Franken, and they have met with Ellison here, and then we also protested at Klobuchar's office that day. But Amy Klobuchar, the senator from Minnesota, is a problem, because she used to be a prosecutor, and she's saying the story of, like, well, we can't do anything until after the investigation. But this, she's used to a case when there's a crime, then you do an investigation. This is totally different. There's been no crime. I don't know what the investigation entails, but what we believe the point is of all this is to change the definition of material witness, I mean, material support of terrorism.
And they can do that. They can change any damn definition they want. That's what they're doing. That's why we get to the point where you can just change the definition. And Assange is an enemy combatant.
Is in charge of the case, and people should contact Fitzgerald and the Attorney General and Amy Klobuchar or whatever. But
Nora, is there? I got to move on. Is there?
FBI.net is a website that they have. StopFBI.net.
That's what I was going to ask for. StopFBI.net, right?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nora,
and
for getting
one
the word
more thing.
Quick.
Why do Wisconsin voters hate the people of Minneapolis and Chicago? That's a rhetorical question, because I know the answer. Because
okay.
I run into these people at events and they say, oh, I'm not going to go vote because Obama didn't have single payer, or they're all corrupt now, so I don't vote. Oh, give me a break. That's why, probably, because a bunch of people sit home and then the weirdos vote.
Thanks, Nora. I appreciate your call, dear. Thanks for speaking out.
You know what happened.
I do indeed. Thanks for the call. And I'm up against the clock. Otherwise, I would, I'd let Nora take over the whole half hour. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. My thoughts on CNN and Don Lemon and maybe even Fair Game right after this.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long
That's about right. Brad of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We're going to get to your calls in a minute, I hope, or in a few minutes. 877-520-1150. Trying to get through so much. Can you tell? Can you tell? All right. Last weekend, Don Lemon had an interview with Ray McGovern, who's a 27-year CIA analyst, a former CIA analyst. He used to give, Ray McGovern used to give the presidential daily briefings to George Bush Sr., to Bill Clinton. So, I mean, this is a top senior CIA guy, right? Well, he has come out years ago. He came out against the war, against the lies. He most famously confronted Don Rumsfeld back in 2006 for lying about WMD, lying us into the war. He did this. It was all caught on video. It was terrific. It was a showdown. And I remember he had told me that one of the things that he was thinking in his mind when he was mustering up the courage to take on Rumsfeld in this public setting was, what would Cindy do? What would Cindy Sheehan do? And he stood up and he took him on courageously. So he was on CNN this weekend in a brief 7-minute segment or so. He was only on for about 4 minutes, of course, in support of WikiLeaks. And Don Lemon, as I later learned when I spoke with Don Lemon after I wrote an article about all of this at the Brad blog, it was apparently he wanted Ray McGovern on. I had to be careful about what I say about that phone call because I told Don that I would keep it off record because that's what he preferred, which is fine. If that's what he wants, we respect sources. So, you know, the suggestion here being that, you know, McGovern's side needed to get out there. And it certainly does because we've got all these politicians out there calling Assange a terrorist, calling for him to be killed, calling for him to be arrested, an enemy combatant, despite the fact that he hasn't been charged of not one single thing. And yet, CNN throughout this segment had a little chyron at the bottom of the screen that says, Assange, journalist or terrorist. Of course, there is much evidence that he is a journalist. There is not one scintilla of evidence that he is a terrorist. Just because Sarah Palin says so does not count as evidence. Let me play some of this interview for you.
One politician even called Assange a high-tech terrorist. So how can one person's terrorist also be called the ultimate journalist? For perspective on that,
How can that happen? Because you just did it, Don Lemon and CNN. Because you just spent the setup to that segment by comparing him to Bonnie and Clyde, to the Barefoot Bandit, people who killed people. Assange has killed no one. So how can one man's terrorist be a journalist? Because we're announcing that he's a terrorist, that he's just like Bonnie and Clyde who killed people, that he's just like the Barefoot Bandit. Press on.
McGovern is part of a group of former CIA members who recently wrote a letter praising Assange's actions. So thank you for joining us tonight. Why do you think Assange is doing the right thing by releasing all these documents?
Well, I think the question as to whether he's a journalist or not is the proof is in the pudding. The function of a journalist is to record the actions and behavior of those in power and make it possible for the public to know what's going on.
Now that's something, of course, that CNN would know very little about, apparently. Continue. Go ahead. Oh, I caught you off guard.
To know what's going on. Thomas Jefferson said that if it were a choice between a government and a free press, he'd pick a free press. And so this is what's needed to preserve a democracy. And the idea is to tell as close to the truth as possible and not simply take notes on what the government is saying. That's what Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have done to the embarrassment of the government because a lot of their dealings are kept in secret and need not be kept in secret.
So you don't like the label, you don't like the way he's been labeled a terrorist or a hacker. You actually do think that he is a journalist.
No, he's not been labeled a terrorist by anybody but, oh, a whole bunch of Republicans, a whole bunch of highly elected officials, and CNN. He's not a terrorist.
And yet, here is one of our three major news networks saying over and over and over again, Julian Assange is a terrorist.
Do you think he's a journalist?
Of course he's a journalist, according to the definition that I just listed here. He's making information available to the American people and others who are, frankly, malnourished on what I call the fawning corporate media, who act more as stenographers than they do as journalists.
So you don't think there's information in those documents that should have been left out or maybe blacked out that may be detrimental to the country, maybe detrimental to our troops or even other countries? Because that's what journalists would have fact-checked, and there are standards, and no one wants to put people in danger and in jeopardy. I think that's what most journalists would have done.
Journalists would have fact-checked. All right, Don Lemon. You're a journalist. You're about to call yourself one in this interview. Did you fact-check? Did you fact-check to find out that, in fact, Wikipedia does fact-check? That they do redact sources and documents? Don Lemon, why didn't you fact-check that before you just announced that Wikipedia doesn't?
Julian Assange didn't do that.
Well, I correct you on that. He did do that. He made that information available to the Pentagon and the State Department, and they refused to expunge it. They refused to redact it. Now, what has been released? It is a canard. It is a red herring to suggest that lives have been put in danger. The only lives that have been put in danger are the troops that we sent over to Iraq and Afghanistan under false pretenses. Now, the Secretary of Defense, Robert Gates, has said that these reports about lives in danger are greatly overwrought, his word, okay? He said that no sources and methods have been compromised. NATO has said the same thing, and our command in Afghanistan has said the same thing. Not one person has been identified as having been spat upon, much less imprisoned, because of these documents. Now, that doesn't mean that the pundits here in this country don't say it 10 times a day. Saying it 10 times a day does not make it true.
His attorney said the same thing on the steps of the courthouse, that this was a setup, talking about the charges in Sweden. This was just one way to get him into custody, to keep him there, and that this is what journalists should be doing. So you really think we, and I'll say we, I'm a journalist, you think we have it wrong, and that he is actually not a pariah. We should be praising him and following his lead rather than calling him a pariah?
Okay, now this is an important part. He says right here, and by the way, I called them Wikipedia instead of WikiLeaks. Sorry about that. Someone in the chat room corrected me. Thank you. Don Lemon says, you really think we, and I'll say we, I'm a journalist, you really think we have it wrong and that he, Assange, is actually not a pariah. We should be praising him and following his lead. So Don Lemon is saying that we journalists, he even says, I'll say we, I'm a journalist, who believe he's a pariah. It sounds to me like Don Lemon thinks he's a pariah. But he gives McGovern the chance to respond here and to his suggestion that, oh, do we, CNN, Don Lemon, do we have it wrong? He's not really a pariah, McGovern says.
Actually, with all due respect, I think you should be following his example. Seek out the secrets. Find out why it is that my taxpayer money is going to fund trafficked young boys performing dances in women's clothing before the Afghan security forces who we are recruiting to take over after we leave. Take a look at the documents and see the abhorrent activities that our government has endorsed or done through its contractors. And then tell me you don't think the Americans can handle that. Well, I think they can handle it, but they can't handle it if they don't have it.
All right, Ray McGovern, thank you. Appreciate your time.
Handle it if they don't have it. That's Ray McGovern, 27-year CIA senior analyst, formerly with the CIA, gave the presidential daily briefings to George Bush Sr. and to Bill Clinton in the Oval Office, gave the presidential briefings saying that, yes, I think that the Americans can handle it, telling CNN that no, Assange is not a terrorist, as you have just spent the last 3, 4, 5 minutes and God knows how many other segments claiming. He's not a terrorist. In fact, you should be following his example. Seek out the secrets. As I said, I spoke with Don Lemon after I wrote this piece, and I promised to keep keep the conversation off record, so I'm going to be very careful about what details I go into. Other than to say that he stands by, Don Lemon stands by this interview. He stands by his his words, where he says, you really think that we, and I'll say we, I'm a journalist, you really think that we have it wrong and that Assange is not a pariah. So Don Lemon apparently thinks he's a pariah. And CNN, for their part, stands by their chyron and their which said the little credit at the bottom of the screen that said Assange, journalist or terrorist. CNN also stands by that. And the 3 or 4 minutes at the top of that segment that you didn't hear, where they compared him to Bonnie and Clyde, a killer. I invited Don Lemon on to talk about this tonight. He declined. I invited CNN to send another representative. They declined. I received this this morning from Nigel Pritchard of CNN Worldwide PR, Public Relations. An email says, Brad, my colleague on the West Coast, was on the West Coast on Larry King duty and asked me to look into this for you. Thank you again for reaching out to us. However, we are not putting up anyone to discuss it. You may use the following as a response from CNN PR if you wish. Quote, for reference, the broadcast you mention was intended to discuss, challenge, and address views that are being debated widely in the media and in the public at large. So, just because something's debated widely in the public at large, it's okay to bring it up. No matter if there is any evidence, any scintilla of evidence to support that it's true, as long as Sarah Palin and friends bring it up, we can talk about it. After I ran my article, I received an email from Glenn Greenwald, who pointed out that Don Lemon also did something similar on the Ground Zero Mosque fake scandal. Well, a bunch of people are saying that black people he says, during this interview, I don't think that black people were behind a terrorist plot to kill people and drive planes into a building, unlike American Muslims, I guess. If people are talking about it, it doesn't matter if there's any evidence for it. It's okay. CNN will bring it up. Got that, elected officials? Got that, Republicans? Any charge you want to make, CNN will give it airtime, whether there is any evidence or not. Here's an idea. How about a segment called CNN, Newsnet or Propagandists? I just called them propagandists, so I guess that's okay. How about CNN, News Network, or Media Stooges? Right-wing shills? Democratic PR outfits? Whatever, we're talking about it. I just called CNN a right-wing shill. Why not do a segment on it? Is there evidence for it? Doesn't matter. It's absolutely maddening. This is why we are in this mess. This is why we need WikiLeaks. Brad in from Molloy.
In all the old familiar places.
I will indeed. I will see you at bradblog.com. Since this may be my last opportunity to sit in for Mike until next year, so don't be a stranger. Stop on by over there. I should say, 52 minutes after the hour. Brad Friedman in for Mike Molloy. He will be back Monday, and I'm going to get to your calls in a moment here, so hang on the lines. But I want to thank the great engineer, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, sir. And let's see, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's to you, and enjoy yourself running Stephanie's show for the next 2 weeks. And my thanks to K-Talk AM 1150 for allowing me use of the studio. Producer and screener and chat room babe tonight, Desi Doyen, thank you. And of course, my thanks to my guests, Colleen Rowley, who is barreling back towards Minnesota,
And, of course, Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in and do my best to raise a little bit of hell. If you're listening on MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with Bob Kincaid. All right, let's see how many folks I can get to as quickly as possible. I'm sorry I've been filibustering all night long, but there was a whole bunch of information we had to get out. Gene in Napa, California, welcome to the show. Gene?
Hi, Brad.
Hey.
I had to call because my head hurts when black is called white and up is called down.
Yep.
In the bizarre world of Fox and now CNN, where they call speculation, opinion, and fabrication,
yep,
they call that news.
Yep.
However, in the actual world of journalism, historical research, legal research, the preferred material sought and used to gather facts and evidence, that's called primary resources.
Mm-hmm.
What Assange and WikiLeaks bring to light are primary resources. That is documentation,
yep,
via videos and communiques and all this eyewitness stuff. My point here is, when our government officials say that Assange is a terrorist, it seems that our corporatized media and government, they want us to believe that propaganda and falsities are valid news, but that WikiLeaks' release of primary resources is not news.
Yeah, and not only
down.
Yeah, and not only that. If you go to the WikiLeaks site, if you look at the collateralmurder.com, you will see they do investigate these stories. They do write about them. They do report on them. It is journalism, you're absolutely right, Gene. The problem is they don't like what is being reported.
Yes, in reality, WikiLeaks is pure primary resources.
Yep.
That's news. While the entities like Fox and the National Security State, they manufacture news.
And
they
CNN.
They drop up terrorism charges and propaganda.
Yep.
Color
yep.
alerts.
Yep.
Demonization of scapegoats.
You're absolutely right, Gene. And let's throw in CNN there because they were reporting, WikiLeaks being terrorists, Julian Assange being a terrorist, just because someone says so. No evidence necessary. Thanks for the call, Gene. I really appreciate it. All right. Let me see. Okay, I know I'm trying to get to everybody. Steven in Burbank, welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind in 10 or 15 seconds or less? Sorry.
Hi, Brad. Would it be too far out to compare Julian Assange to Upton Sinclair, or would it be too far out to compare Bradley Manning to Alexander Solzhenitsyn? Would it be too far out to, like, call Dianne Feinstein maybe a Stalinist Politburo hack? I mean, is CNN and Fox, are they like, who's that guy in history, Goebbels?
Yeah.
Am I crazy or what? Help me on this.
Well, you may be crazy, but that has nothing to do with the fact that you're absolutely right when it comes to Dianne Feinstein, senator or Politburo hack. Thanks. That's coming up next on CNN. Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate your call, sir. All right. Do I have time? Yes. Very quickly, Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening, Brad. Have you heard the rumors that when WikiLeaks began leaking, that one or more agencies in the U.S. government secretly leaked more information to WikiLeaks to create a scandal so the DHS could then censor the web and force everyone with a website to get a license?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of rumors that I hear out there. I don't report rumors, however. I wait for evidence, hard evidence. And I think we did see some hard evidence that Pakistan was doing that, was putting out some phony documents. I've seen no evidence that the U.S. has done that, however. When they do, we'll report it. Until then, it is just speculation, and I've seen no evidence for a lot of that speculation out there. Thanks, Ron. I appreciate your thoughts here tonight. BradleyManning.org, going over there. Support him, too. He needs you right now, much as your country does. Thanks for tuning in, America. Thanks for having me here. Have a great holiday and a great new year. Brad Friedman out. Keep it lit.